Get up with Ned and Josh on Hit 104.7. I got to put my
hands up in the air. We are talking on 131060 about tipping fails. If you've been overseas and you're an Australian tourist, you've been a little bit clueless with how tipping works, you have my sympathies because I've done the exact same thing. So I literally was at a bar. A guy came up and just tapped the bill. Like as I paid, tapped it.
Yeah.
And I went, oh, well, what's going on? My friend who traveled a little bit more was next to me was like, you've forgotten the tip.
Yeah.
I'm like, he poured two beers. Why am I tipping that? Didn't speak to us at all. He just poured two beers.
And I think that's the misconception with tipping. It's not like, oh, I received excellent. Like in Australia, the only reason you tip someone is because you're like, oh my God, this service was impeccable.
Yeah.
Whereas in America, it's like, oh, you did your job.
You don't want another human being to starve.
Exactly.
So, yeah, you need to tip them. You need to subsidize the horrible minimum wage they have over there.
Exactly.
And so I want to know, 131060, are you an Australian tourist that has stuffed up tipping? We've got Jack on the line from Latham. Jack, what happened with you?
Hey mate, yeah, I was over in Croatia with a mate's wedding and we were just getting pizza and straight at the start I thought this guy looked like he wasn't earning too much, so I gave him a $2 Australian tip, which is about 10 kuna over there, and they freaked out like it was the lotto and my mate looked at me and shook his head. And I was going, oh, okay, don't know what I've done here, and he goes, you wait till the end, now this guy's just going to freak out. And then, of course, at the end, I had to give him double, didn't I?
You had to tip him again. His $2, was $2 a big tip? I've never been to Croatia. I don't know how much the currency's worth. So was that really excited? Is that why he was excited? Or was he excited because you tipped him before he'd even done anything? Yeah.
I think it was a bit of both.
A bit of both? All right. Yeah.
He's like, oh my God, I've done nothing and this guy's already giving me a lot of money. This is great.
That's the thing though, and this is the thing I have with tipping. You're not dealing with an 8-year-old on their birthday. Like you can say, well, clearly, mate, you've already got the tip. I'm not giving you another one just because I stuffed up the protocol. You know, I know, you've already got your tip. Just be happy with it and go on your merry way.
Jack, did you tip him again? Did you feel compelled?
Yeah, I gave him another 20, but that was more just my conscience.
Mate, he knows what the deal is.
He's just like, keep coming back. Can I have your personal number? I'll come and do whatever you want for
Australian
you.
Tourist tipping, it's a difference between, it's this very fine line between us all being ignorant and us being just total suckers.
Yeah.
Hit 104.7's Ned and Josh, the best radio show featuring two guys named Ned and Josh. Probably.
If you've been injured at work, act now. Visit mej.com.au.
I just a second ago said that there was a story that came across my desk of a bunch of animals banding together to basically go after two humans.
So you said not gorillas, not monkeys, not any kind of chimpanzee. Also not dolphins, which is eliminating the closest thing that we have to humans and also probably one of the smartest animals on the planet.
Lady in New Zealand was going for a bit of a jog.
Okay.
Jog past a paddock, noticed that a bunch of cows were giving her quite an odd look.
They could smell the dairy on her.
This is one of the weirdest parts about this too. Like maybe she'd had some cheese that morning
or
something.
She had some string cheese that's an abomination.
The cows are getting angry. The weirdest part about this is she actually ran back a couple more times.
Almost like waving a
red flag in front of the bovine creatures. It's like waving a red flag in front of a bull because they obviously were pretty upset about it.
Yep.
And so what's happened is these cows have basically charged at her.
Yeah.
This guy has had to come in. He's tried to help her and fend off the cows. The guy ended up in hospital with injuries from the cows. Apparently, and this is one of my favorite quotes from the article, someone attempted involving this scenario, either the guy or the girl, I'm not sure, attempted, quote, wild karate to have a crack at these cows.
Very dangerous,
but
wild karate.
The thing that actually blows my mind with all of this, and the guy's in a stable condition, is all fine. The thing that blows my mind with this is that this is the beginning of something I've predicted for a very long time. That eventually cows would get wise to the fact that they are so much bigger than us, and why are they taking crap from us? Like, literally, if six or seven cows wanted to band together, there's a barbed wire fence is not going to stop a bunch of cows from getting out. Like, all the cows have to do is have that moment where they snap. It's like a Planet of the Apes move, where they just snap, get a little bit smarter and go, no. Yeah. No more of this. We are going to become the dominant species on Earth.
Yeah.
And before you know it, we have a cow uprising.
I think
this is the beginning of it. Yeah. I think this story, everyone's like, oh, wacky story from New Zealand. I'm like, no, this is the beginning of the end. This is a cow uprising.
Planet of the Moo.
Planet of the cow.
Yeah, there you go. I like that you think that cows aren't, the only reason that they haven't overtaken the world is that they're just not trying hard enough. Like they haven't read a book or something.
No, the cows, once they just get that, it's like Planet of the Apes, once they get that little bit more intelligent, yeah. we are done.
Yeah,
cows,
exactly.
Cows are the size of calves. This doesn't, we have no chance against a well-armed militia of cows. Mm. We have no chance.
And like Planet of the Apes, started with the chimpanzees, then they got the gorillas and bonobos.
They could get like
llamas, camels, sheep. You can think about every other
bison.
Thing.
Bison.
Exactly.
It's weird you went straight to llamas.
Llamas are very dangerous.
Even bigger hooved animals, maybe, not just llamas.
Llamas spit on people, mate. That's very dangerous.
You get attacked by the bison and then insulted by the llamas.
Exactly.
This is an uprising I don't want to be a part of. It's like Skynet. It's like when the robots went, you know what, we just need to take this over from the humans.
Mm.
Although, having said that, the soundtrack to the cow uprising would be a tiny bit different.
Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Ned and Josh.
That's the only reason we spoke about this, everyone. And one more time.
Good morning.
Hit 104.7's Ned and Josh. Like a fine wine, this show will get better with time. Also like a fine wine, they'll need about 30 years.
John Little, your workers' compensation lawyer. MEJ.com.au.
And Ned, we do a segment each and every Wednesday on this show.
Yep.
Called the Wednesday Work File.
That's right. It's where we find interesting or peculiar jobs from around Canberra. We try to hopefully get someone who has that job in the studio and just ask them a bunch of interesting questions.
This morning, we are going to catch up with somebody who is a security professional.
Mm.
They are what is termed as an ethical computer hacker.
That's right. So they work for companies to try and prevent hackers getting into their system and getting access to all of their private information.
Actually discovering vulnerabilities, all that sort of thing. Now, this was so very incognito that we actually had to use an alias for the person we caught up with yesterday.
Yep.
On this.
Lifting the lid on the most fascinating jobs from around the region.
It's amazing.
It's Ned and Josh's Wednesday Work File.
Good morning, Smash.
How's it going?
Good, thank you. So you're what's known as an ethical hacker. Is that correct? So what does that mean?
Sure. So I guess there's a lot of bad guys out there trying to do damage with these skills.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's good to have some people on the other side looking for the same sorts of things, trying to protect our clients, thinking like an attacker, trying to do what they would do, but without actually causing damage.
Yeah, right. Wow. That's so cool. It's like essentially like Batman. So you're like a vigilante.
You're allowing people to see vulnerabilities and fix them before somebody else might find them.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. So like if someone's afraid that some bad guy might get in and, I don't know, see sensitive customer details or whatever intellectual property, they'd rather that we find it so that we can tell them, look, here's how to fix it.
Mm-hmm.
So they can fix it before the bad guys get there.
Fantastic.
Well, you protect obviously big companies and stuff like that, but for the everyday person, how real is it of a threat to actually be hacked? Like me as just an average Joe Blow guy, how likely am I to just be hacked by someone else?
Yeah, sure. So a lot of companies are targeted specifically because they have some particular, you know, thing that an attacker might want.
Yeah.
So they're going to be defending against targeted attacks. For the average person on the street, probably that's not so much the threat, but what can happen is people just spraying an attack wide and seeing who they catch.
Mm.
So things that we see are people setting up public Wi-Fi points in public and seeing who connects to it. If an attacker were to do that, they could see all the traffic that's going between you and the server.
Mm, yeah.
So things like that. They're not targeting anyone in particular, but they'll just throw something out there and see who they can catch sometimes.
Yeah, okay, cool. And you, as a hacker, are you, like, do you feel like you're a lot more invulnerable to stuff like that? Like, you're a lot more wary of things that go on in your day-to-day life where you're like, I really shouldn't go on this website or connect to this server.
Yeah, I'm sure there's some things that just by virtue of the fact that we see this stuff every day, we're kind of a bit more wary of. But something that probably everyone is vulnerable to is more social engineering attacks, so phishing and that sort of stuff.
Mm.
As humans, we trust our friends and things like that. If someone hacked my friend's email account and sent me an email, yeah, look, I'd probably trust that. So that's hard to defend against when an attacker is leveraging trust to get at someone else.
My nan literally got done with that and like had her bank account cleared a couple of months ago.
Yeah,
like it can be very, like you see something that's a beacon of trust and just go, yeah, sure, no problem. So
And that's how we get in sometimes is, you know, popping one person and then using that trust to attack other people.
Yeah. My question is, we often hear in the news and stuff, and even the way they report on hacking sometimes, it sounds like it is magic. In terms of, say, a computer in 1996 versus a computer out of the box now, are there things built into it that make it safer, or is everything more sophisticated that you'd say something's more vulnerable now than it was in, say, the 90s?
So the state of the art's definitely progressing. Mm. Like back in the 90s, it was just like open season to some extent. Like people weren't aware of what was possible.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
Over time, hackers are discovering new techniques to attack things, and defenders are similarly coming up with new mitigations.
Yeah.
So if...
it's a bit of an arms race.
A bit of an arms race. Yeah, yeah. So a lot of the training that I did early on in my career was like trying to hack Windows XP, and that was super easy.
Yeah.
You get us against Windows 10 today, and gosh, Microsoft's done some good work. It's actually really hard because the mitigations they've put in place to defend against the current state of the art is really good.
Yeah.
So hackers are having to come up with new techniques, but it's getting a lot harder to exploit some things these days.
Mm-hmm. Well, how dangerous is artificial intelligence, in your opinion?
How real of a threat is that?
Because I see a news story every second day about how that's eventually going to get us all. So, Ed, what do you think?
Look, probably not my area of expertise, to be honest. There's people in our industry who are really focusing on that sort of stuff, but I'm not an expert on that. Yeah.
Well, all jokes aside, what do you tell your friends and family that you do? Do you just go, I'm a computer hacker?
Yeah, pretty much. It doesn't have to be all cloak and dagger. Like, at the end of the day, I'm a security professional. I'm not going around the dark corners of the internet trying to hide anything. So, it's a job. I just tell my mates, my family what I do.
Yeah. Once again, if we came back to my nan who had her bank account fleeced, she'd probably, much like the movies, think you're a wizard. She'd be like, well, you just know everything about everything.
Yeah, I take my money back.
Yeah.
My housemates absolutely think that. Yeah. Like, what is he doing? I'm like, very tempted to hack them one day, but no, I've got an agreement.
It's in the lease.
Thank you very much for having a chat to us, mate. And thank you for protecting big companies. Thank you very much, mate.
No worries.
4.7's Ned and Josh. One is taller than the other. The shorter one doesn't want to be named. The taller one is Josh.
If you've been injured at work, act now. Visit mej.com.au.
Right. I want to talk to you about a list that has been revealed about Australia's worst driving habits. And when I say worst driving habits, it's like stuff that you do while you're driving that you really shouldn't do.
Yeah, I've seen this list as well. Go for it.
There's some things that don't apply to me at all, so I'm not really going to comment on them other than you probably shouldn't do them, like applying makeup.
Mm.
I saw a girl do that the other day, and I'm like,
seems dangerous.
Probably just don't do that. But then at the same time, what's the difference between that and like just checking yourself out in the mirror and going,
well, you're using your hands to do something that isn't driving the car.
So it's much worse than that.
Much worse.
But the list starts off with things, very, very common things, which shouldn't be common because they're illegal, like checking your phone.
Yeah, I don't know. That's not a bad driving habit as much as that's just illegal.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what is top of this list? Yeah. And it got my goat this morning. It is eating. Eating food while driving.
Eating is there.
Which is one of my favourite things to do.
I know.
Now, fans of the TV show Dexter might also remember he has a big monologue about that. It's one of his favourite things to do. It's the only similarity I have with Dexter, I'll be honest. The only similarity I have.
Found out.
I literally love driving while eating. Cheeseburger in one hand, one hand on the steering wheel. I don't think... That is, at the moment, my utmost sign that human beings have conquered planet Earth.
Yeah. Well, you're eating like a processed cow with its... something that comes out of it, the cheese, you're eating processed whatever, and you're just sitting there eating
while
food.
While driving down the highway.
At 100.
That is peak human evolution right there, in my opinion.
That's us, like, rubbing it into, like, everything.
To planet Earth. Yeah.
The thing that I've seen on the list, because you know what, I can get on board with that. Eating while driving,
it's
having
also not
a couple
illegal.
Of fries.
If you crash, you could be in trouble because they could charge you with like not having full control of a motor vehicle. But it's actually, there's no law against eating while driving.
Exactly. And so I can kind of go, I've done that and I enjoy it. But the thing that I've seen on this list that is a very small percentage, but is still a percentage that I think is honestly the dumbest thing you can do behind the wheel is reading a book.
That's not on this list.
It is on this list.
You read a different article to me. Is that actually on this list?
It's on this list, and it's like less than 5%.
Who the hell is reading a book while they're driving?
When I have read a book, and I say when because it doesn't happen often, I sit down and I read potentially like a couple of chapters at a time just so I can keep the story going and stuff like that. When are you ever sitting in your car and going, you know what? I'm traveling at potentially 80 kilometers an hour. You know what I really feel like I should do? Catch up with my old friend
in the
book.
Are they talking about people that are sitting in gridlock traffic in Sydney for 40 minutes at a time? They just crack open a book?
Well, they potentially could be talking about that, but they're also talking about stuff whilst driving.
Yeah, right. So that you are moving. That's okay. All right, then. No.
I just don't understand. Like, also, you leave your house with a book in your hand. Mm. You know that at some point you're going to read it in. It's like a premeditated thing that you're going to do. If I ever check my phone while I'm driving, it's not like I know I'm going to do that. It's something that I do and I'm like, that's so dumb. I shouldn't do that. If you take a book in your car knowing you're going to open it up and flip to page 152 and start reading. You're an idiot.
Yeah, you shouldn't
and
be driving.
And you shouldn't be allowed shouldn't to be on the road.
You're dangerous to other people.
Just stay in a library.
Is this, I will say this much, with how bad of a driver you are, mate, if I ever get into the car and I'm your passenger and there's a novel in like the center console, I'm getting out of the car.
I could promise you that's never going to happen.
Honestly, if there's an audiobook on the radio, I still think you'll be too distracted.
Hit 104.7's Ned and Josh, the best radio show featuring two guys named Ned and Josh. Probably.
If you've been injured at work, act now. Visit mej.com.au.
We're taking your calls, 13 10 60 right now. When have you had an awkward moment with a celebrity? Did you meet a celebrity, someone pretty famous, and just get super awkward?
That's right. A lady over in America met Keith Urban and had to have it validated three times that he actually was Keith Urban.
Didn't believe him.
Had to ask his sister, had to ask his bodyguard, and then was like, oh my God, it actually is Keith Urban. And was like, this is super embarrassing that I didn't just believe this guy.
Would love to know from you right now, Canberra, because I had a very similar thing happen when I met Andy from Hamish and Andy. You met Matt Damon and just...
I tried to do a British accent
for some reason. 131060 is the number to call. When have you been awkward around a celebrity? We've got Tony on the line from Canberra. Tony, how are you?
Good, thanks, boys. How are you?
Not too bad, thanks, thank you. Tony. Now, Tony, who is the celebrity first and foremost?
Jake Ryan.
Oh, Jake
from
Ryan.
Home and Away.
Yes, right. Okay. And what happened when you met him?
So he was in town with a bunch of celebrities filming Blue World Order a few years back.
Oh, yes, right, of course.
Great movie. I was an extra in it, and I went back for a second time for shooting, and I turned around to Jake afterwards, and I've gone, why didn't you tell me that you were from my favourite show, Wentworth? He played Steve Smith's husband in the first two seasons.
And that's true? You didn't... Is that... Because so I haven't seen Wentworth. You didn't get that wrong? He actually is in Wentworth?
No, it is. He is in Wentworth. I actually had to Google him to double check, and I was right. And I was like totally gobsmacked.
Yeah, right.
So you were just like, why didn't you tell me you're in my favourite TV show? And he was like, sorry.
It's like, I don't walk around just saying my resume to people that I meet.
I thought you were going to say something
like, he's not Troy McClure. He doesn't walk up here. You might remember me from Wentworth and also Home and Away.
I thought you were going to say like, oh, I loved your Neighbours. Like, you always foiled Paul Robinson's schemes and stuff like that.
So it's very much on Home and Away. There was a beach.
Absolutely.
That's how you know the difference between Neighbours and Home and Away. If there's a beach, you're watching Home and Away. Ryan is on the line right now from Canberra. How are you, mate?
Yeah, good. How are you?
You're not too bad, thanks. Who is the celebrity?
I don't meet many celebrities, but when it comes to Canberra, I think you guys are celebrities.
Mate, that is a ridiculous claim.
That's not even close to accurate.
So what's the story, Ryan?
Okay, so you know the high five?
I do remember that, yes.
I met you guys at Grease Monkey, and I had no idea what to do. All I had to do was give you a high five and... I felt like I had to have a conversation with you or something.
Ryan,
to make you feel essentially infinitely better, Ryan, essentially 70% of the people that came up and high-fived just didn't really know what to do.
No, and do you want me to make you feel even better, Ryan? I had the most, when we were doing the 20K high-five, it was the single most awkward month of my life because I didn't know what to do when people came up. I was like, do I talk to them for a while now? So you and I, Ryan, in the exact same boat.
Yeah.
I'm just socially awkward. I had no idea what to do with these people that were high-fiving us.
By the end, you think we would have been better at it, Ryan, but no.
Second last day, I said to someone, I'm like, oh, thank you, have a nice day. I'm like, what am I doing? Yeah. This is the most awkward thing ever.
It's just we didn't need to handle it at all.
No, we're not socially apt people. So no, that's fine, Ryan. Don't worry about that. And please, nobody ever think of us as celebrities ever again.
Hit 104.7's Ned and Josh. Like a fine wine, this show will get better with time. Also like a fine wine, they'll need about 30 years.
John Little, your workers' compensation lawyer. MEJ.com.au.
Josh.
Oh, God.
You lost the Dare of Destiny on Monday. Took me a day to figure out what I wanted you to do. And what that was to send you to the B-Firm Ninja Warrior training course in Simonston because you yourself said that you'd love to take part in Australian Ninja Warrior.
Do you want to... Well, I mean, look, I dispute that that was something I ever said.
Well, here you go. Have a listen to this. Honestly, remove yourself from your idea. Would you go to an Australian Ninja Warrior course for the day?
Yes.
There you go. There's no more concrete evidence than
thank
that.
Thank you.
So what I've decided to do is organise a time for you to go down today, but I don't feel like you're motivated enough. So what I've also organised is a chat with Lee Campbell, who, when we get down there, is going to be your encouragement coach.
Is he going to be like the commando?
He's going to be exactly like the commando. He's going to yell at you. He's going to tell you to lift your game. And so I feel like we can get a little bit of preamble happening this morning because we've got him on the line. Hey, Lee, how's it going?
Hey, mate.
How's it going?
Lee.
I'm good. How are you going?
Yeah, not too bad. I'm starting to get very, very nervous from the stories I'm hearing, Lee.
Oh, mate, there's not much to be too nervous about, really.
Okay. Lee, what's with the evil laugh then, Lee? There's nothing to be nervous about. What's with the giggle?
Lee, I want you to just pretty much, because I've kind of been hinting at Josh as to what he's going to do, but I feel like we've had enough dancing around it. Why don't you just straight up tell Josh exactly the obstacles he's going to be tackling and the punishment if he fails any of them?
Mate, well, the first one he's going to tackle, I think we've got to get the big one out of the way first.
Yeah.
Armageddon, which is a 20-foot salmon ladder.
So the thing is, the only thing I understood with that was 20 foot. I don't know what the rest of it was. That's
What does that entail, Lee?
Mate, that entails you jump up the rungs each time and you land, and you got to keep climbing up the rungs all the way to the top of the summit ladder. And then, of course, we're going to have the swing, so we're going to lache from one pole 2 meters across. Fly through the air and grab the other pole.
Right, okay, God, yeah.
That's going to work. As has often been said by people, I'm very agile. Yeah. I'm very skilled at this sort of stuff. I am going to stuff this up, and I don't understand why anyone thinks I'm capable of this stuff.
Lee,
Then we've got the helix, which you've got to hold the pole, and the pole twists while you're holding it and moves around.
Oh, I've seen that one,
That's another one's perfect. I can't wait to
Yeah, okay.
Lee, what would you say is the most challenging obstacle that Josh will come against?
Look, I think we've got the beginner salmon ladder, which is Jaws and Jaws 2.
Nah.
So I think that one we're going to give that a go. But Armageddon's always big and scary. I mean, that's 20 foot off the ground. It's almost high of salmon ladder. That's a tough one. And you're in a harness.
Biggest challenge I'm going to come across is my own fitness level. That's absolutely... I am my own worst enemy when it comes to this.
And obviously that's going to be an obstacle that you and I are going to have to tackle, Lee. So what do you think is a fitting punishment for Josh? Because I've already told him what it is, but I want you to just absolutely nail it in.
I think, we've prepped this one. It's had the ice in the pit for the last 20 days just to keep it nice and fresh in there. It hasn't thawed out well, so that's the deep pit of just freezing cold water.
Brilliant, mate. That's fantastic.
I have had enough of this already, and I haven't left the climate-controlled studio yet, so just hearing about this has me angry enough.
I'm so excited. No, I bought a new jumper yesterday, so I'm going to be ready. I'm excited as well, Lee. This really seems like you and I are coming off very much on top of this whole situation.
Where would we best
be? Lee, what do you think, on a scale from 1 to 10, 10 being very likely, 1 being impossible, what do you think the likelihood of Josh making through the whole course is?
Zero.
Okay. Yeah, okay, good. So
fantastic.
Not even one,
I'm glad,
zero.
I'm glad you know what gives me a little bit of hope there, Lee? You thought about it for a second. That's something that actually fills me with a little bit of hope. Mate, we'll see you later today, all right?
104.7's Ned and Josh. One is taller than the other. The shorter one doesn't want to be named. The taller one is Josh.
If you have been injured at work, act now. Visit mej.com.au.